going to share quite a lot of scripture this morning, and it was too much for my usual post-it notes, so I forwarded it to my phone. So please excuse me, I'm not checking Facebook or anything. We're still talking in the area of family, and this morning, talking a little bit about prayer in the family. Your family can be a prayer army. Family force. You used to get there used to be a program a long time ago, Delta Force. I don't know if it was a movie or a series or something. I think that was with Chuck Norris. Was he in that? Anyone? There's a few people nodding. Now, you might not know Chuck Norris because he's maybe a bit older now, not making as many movies. He's actually not very old. I think he's only as old as Johnny, so he's not very old. So maybe you can call him either Johnny Norris or Chuck Bell. See, Johnny's nodding now. I'm in trouble. Okay. But, Johnny's even better than Chuck Norris. So, okay. So let your family be a family force of prayer. So just a couple of things about prayer this morning, and just the challenge there before us to pray more as a family. They say that husbands and wives that pray together stay together. The same is true for families. It's very important for our children that we pray with them. I don't think there's a better way to ascertain sort of, you know, where someone is at in their relationship with the Lord than if you can pray with them, if you can hear them pray. It's obviously not the full picture, but it tells you a little something about where they're at, how they experience the Lord. And our children need to hear us praying, and we need to hear our children praying. So we pray with our kids every day. And Charlene has taught them how to sing the Our Father a long time ago already, and they do it so beautifully. And it's just that. The Lord, in teaching his disciples how to pray, said, this is how you should pray, Our Father. Not my Father, Our Father. It's a corporate thing. Something that we do together. Prayer is meant to be something that communities, that churches, that groups of disciples can enjoy together. And certainly, if that's important for you as a family to follow the Lord, as it was for Joshua, then prayer is something that you want to incorporate in your daily walk as a family. Prayer is powerful. John Wesley said that God does nothing except in answer to prayer. I think there's a lot that many that would agree with him on that. God expects us to pray. In Genesis 1 verse 28, says that God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Many times we would hear people saying, I don't know if the Afrikaans is like God's water or God's akker, something in line with, well, what's going to happen is going to happen. God's in charge. He's in control. That's true. But God's going to do it anyway. I don't really have to do anything. God's going to make it happen. You know, what can I do to influence it? But yeah, we read very early on in the Word, in the 28th verse of our Bible, that God says, but he's delegated authority to us. He's given us dominion. So he wants us to be part of it. He doesn't just want us to sit back and have him do everything. The church is his first choice in terms of a vehicle to minister the gospel, to usher in the kingdom. It's the first fruit of the kingdom of God on the earth. And so he wants us to pray for what he wants to do. He wants us to pray for that. He wants us to make us part of it. He wants us to desire what he desires. It's a huge responsibility, but it's a huge privilege that we have to be able to pray as believers and as families for God's will, and not just say, well, what will happen will happen. 2 Chronicles 7:14, the very well-known scripture that often denotes prayer movements, shows that God will hold the church accountable for the state of the nation. It should actually be the church, the voice of the church, that should be delivering the state of the nation address, and not the president. Because the president can't say, God is doing this or God is saying that, you know. But the church has the power to change the nation. And so the word says that if my people who are called by my name, if they will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. We can all agree South Africa needs healing. The families in South Africa need healing. It's up to the church. It's up to the believers. If we want to raise up a generation that's going to serve the Lord in our country, we better be praying with our children. Jesus said in Mark 11, "My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations." Is your household a house of prayer? Can you say that your family is part of that kind of a church? Is your family part of the house that Jesus is talking about, a house of prayer? Is prayer evident in your marriage as you're walking a road with your children? Have you ever prayed with your parents, maybe even your elderly parents? Have you prayed with them? It's powerful. We've prayed together as a family with my parents. We've prayed a family member off of drugs. There's such power in agreement. There's no prayer more fervent, more heartfelt than that of a family member. We need to get back to praying. I'm so excited. Yunita is here this morning. And she's the prayer coordinator in the valley. She encourages all the churches and believers in the valley to pray more, to pray together, to join with national and international prayer moves, and ministering around prayer constantly. So I got quite excited when I saw her here this morning. I'm like, you're going to enjoy this message this morning. So, but just look at this in 2 Chronicles verse 20, chapter 20. We're talking about families praying. Okay, this is King Jehoshaphat when the armies of three different nations were coming against the Israelites. "Oh, our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that's coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Now all Judah, with their little ones, their wives and their children, stood before the Lord." You see the families there? Families standing before the Lord in prayer, petitioning the Lord just for his intervention, for his salvation. It's important. It's biblical. We need to pray together. Just a couple of pointers that I'd like to highlight this morning around how to pray powerful prayers as a family. You can include this in your family devotion time. The first point is that we do pray, that we come before the Lord in prayer, asking of him, making petitions. When the Bible says supplications or petitions, it's simply asking the Lord. Okay, and that's generally the starting point where most of us in our journey with the Lord will start. Our prayers will be mostly in this realm where we just ask. We don't necessarily have that much faith. We're not necessarily praying for anyone else, but just for ourselves, our own needs and so on. That's not wrong. God's not intimidated by that. But as we grow in the Lord, we're going to start praying more for other people and other people's needs, more for the establishing of the kingdom in our communities, in our country. But different kinds of prayers that you can pray, prayers of thanksgiving, praise, supplication, confession, repentance, faith, and agreement. Hebrews 4 verse 15 to 16 says, "We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Doesn't matter what challenge you're facing, don't be shy to ask the Lord. He understands. He understands because he has been through, in his short lifespan on earth, he has had to face the devil himself and every temptation, every category of temptation that we can come across, the Lord has overcome. What we read in the Bible about Jesus is probably not even half of the miracles that he did. The disciples said, well, all the books of the earth couldn't contain everything about this man. Jesus went through everything, so he understands what you're going through, and he's going through it with you, because he didn't only just live in those 33 years. Jesus is alive. He's alive in us. He says he goes through the fire and the flood with us. Will not overtake us. He doesn't promise to change our circumstances, but he says he'll go through it with us. So he's compassionate. He understands what you're going through, but he can also help, because he overcame all of those temptations. He's able to overcome any challenge, any obstacle. There's nothing too great for him. With him, all things are possible. He's the one who gives you strength. So he's the perfect one to go to. He should be our first point of call. Before we phone a friend, take a 50-50, we must call on Jesus. Zechariah 10 verse 1 says, ask the Lord for rain in the time of latter rain. The Lord will make flashing clouds. He will give them showers of rain, grass in the field for everyone. Ask the Lord for rain in the time of latter rain. Again, it seems unnecessary to ask the Lord for rain in the rain season, because you kind of think, well, I could sit back and it's just going to happen anyway. Again, the Lord's impressing on us. He wants us part of it. He actually wants us to ask even when it seems obvious. Just the smallest thing. You getting married tomorrow, it looks like rain. You're having an outdoor wedding. You'd really like the sun to shine. But you check your Wind Guru weather app and you see, oh no, 30 degrees, clear skies. I would say you should still pray. And thank the Lord and ask him, Lord, let the sun shine. So where we are now as a country, some clouds in the sky, but let's ask the Lord, Lord, let it rain, let it rain. Our country needs water. Then secondly, that we pray according to God's will. What are we praying for when we're praying as a family, as a couple? What are we praying for? Are we praying according to God's will? Have we discussed, and this is coming back to what we shared a long time ago, but do we have a vision as a family? Do we have a vision? Are we praying into that vision that God has given us? Was that vision God birthed? We got to pray according to God's will. 1 John 5, verse 14 to 15. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. We can be confident when we pray according to the will of God. What is the will of God? You'll get to know his will better and better as you spend time in his word, as you spend time around his children, as you spend time in prayer and meditation on God's word, you will know his will better and better, and you can pray confidently. If we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've asked of him. Those prayers will be in that bowl of incense in heaven, brought before the Lord the whole time. We need to pray with faith. We need to pray believing. They say that, unfortunately, Jubilee, this is not an indictment on the USA. It's just the only place they take stats. Okay? In the USA, apparently, pastors pray on average 30 minutes a week. That's average pastors. You probably get pastors that pray hours and hours and hours a week, and maybe some that only pray 5 minutes a week. But the average, according to these stats that were taken a number of years ago, 30 minutes a week. And someone took statistics about Satanists as well and said that the average Satanist prays 3 hours a day. So someone's catching the power in prayer and someone's not catching the power in prayer. Maybe we don't pray as much because we don't always believe it's going to make a difference. Because maybe we've got sometimes the idea, the picture that we have about the one to whom we're praying is more in line with a genie in a bottle, that I've got to say, if I say these words, it's going to happen. And then guess what? It doesn't happen. And so then I don't pray as much. That is not what God is. And God teaches us in His words to also pray with persistence and to keep believing. How much faith would you need if every time you prayed immediately God comes through? You wouldn't need much faith. Faith is believing in what you do not see, and the reward of that faith is seeing what you believe. But there's normally time that has to pass before that happens. Jesus says in Matthew 21, "Assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' it will be done. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive." It doesn't say when you're going to receive it, but you will receive it. The Lord's eyes are scouring the earth looking for people of faith. People that would believe Him at His word. People that would believe that He is who He said He is and that He will do what He said He would do. We need to pray with faith. 1 Timothy 2 verse 8 says, "I desire therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting." Without wrath and doubting. One who doubts is like one who's tossed between the waves of the sea. Double-minded, unstable in all his ways. God cannot work with that. We need to believe. When we pray confidently, believing that God hears us and God will act in our best interest and in the best interest of His kingdom and His purposes, which sometimes means putting our best interests on hold. We have to pray effectively. We have to pray effectively. James 5 verse 16 says, "The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." In other words, there are such things as ineffective prayers. We need to pray effective prayers. What's the point of praying an ineffective prayer? A prayer that's not going to bring about any change. The principle there is that when God leads us, there will be results. The Holy Spirit is the one who's directing the church of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is the one who's continuing with the work that Jesus began. The Holy Spirit is the one that empowers the believer. The Holy Spirit, according to Romans 8, is the one that helps us in our weaknesses, that helps us how we should pray, because we don't always know how we should pray. The Holy Spirit gives us the words. We need to be sensitive and trust the Holy Spirit to direct our prayers. We need to ask God, what should I pray? Not just ask God for the things we want, but actually ask God for what He wants and what does He want us to establish in prayer. What does He want us to pray? Sometimes we'll know, I've got to pray now. We just know we have to pray, but we don't know what to pray. And that's where you can just start praying in the Holy Spirit, praying in your tongue, and then the Lord just starts downloading what He wants you to pray. The Holy Spirit also helps you to pray for extended periods of time. It gives you that endurance. when you're in the Spirit. We need to pray fervently, heartfelt prayers. Isaiah 62, verse 6 and 7, I've set watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem, they shall never hold their peace day or night. You make mention of the Lord, do not keep silent, and give him no rest till he establishes, until he makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. There you also see that prayer is not always answered immediately. God hears the prayers, he will act at the right time. But he doesn't want us to stop praying. He doesn't want us to stop believing. He doesn't want us to give up hope. Many of us are praying for family members that don't know the Lord. We're praying for their salvation. And we think, wow, I've been praying for 4 years. I've been praying for 8 years. I've been praying for 20 years. And this person still doesn't know the Lord, still doesn't serve the Lord, still resists when I want to share with them. Probably God has given them the chance and they, you know, never going to come to salvation. We mustn't even start thinking those things. We just keep praying. That's what God wants of us, never to give up. We keep praying. No one is too far lost, and as long as someone still has breath, they can still get saved. You see the fervency in that scripture. It takes a bit of fervency to pray all night. We've had a couple of Deernacht prayer sessions in our various churches and so on, and it's a challenge. Yeah, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, there's few that are still standing. That's when you really have to buckle down. We might give you a break to take a sip of Coke or something, or Energade, but you come straight back and pray. It's tough, but it's very rewarding. These things God will speak to you in the middle of the night, that precious things. He's not necessarily just going to give you in the middle of the day. So it's about how badly you want it. But praise God, there are people that are blessed and do this on a regular basis, praying through the night. That's called watching. It's called watching when you pray through the night. It's a Christian discipline that we don't often talk about. 1 Peter 4, verse 7, at the end of all things, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore be serious and watchful in your prayers. Serious, fervent. Okay, your heart must be in it. This is not playing games. When we're praying, it's not something to pass by the time. It's not something that's useless. It's very powerful. We must be serious. We must be fervent about it. Jesus was fervent. He was zealous in prayer. Mark 1:35. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, it's dark. Everyone else is still sleeping. Jesus went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. He's praying while everyone else is sleeping, he's praying. He's going out to a place where he can be alone with God, where it's quiet. Of course, we must pray alone as well. We must also pray together. But the heart there, Jesus is showing us his heart, his zeal, his fervency in prayer. Luke 6, verse 12. Now it came to pass in those days that he, Jesus, went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. He continued all night in prayer to God. Fervency. Then we got to pray righteously. Fortunately, this one, every child of God can tick off. We are not righteous by our own accord, but we are the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. Our righteousness comes from Jesus. But that's just a point that is applicable in Hebrews 10, verse 14 and 19. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. We come to God through the cross, through the blood of Jesus. Our confidence is in Christ, in what he did at the cross. That is how we can come to God. That is how come we can pray, our prayers can be heard and answered, because of what Jesus did at the cross. So it doesn't, you don't only pray when you've had a good day and according to your mind, you really haven't sinned today. According to what you're now, you can pray, man, is heaven ready for this prayer? Because now you're going to lay it on thick because you've had a good day and they're going to hear you. It's not about what you've done or haven't done. Let's just take it for granted that we all sin every day, okay? And that we do not deserve to be in God's presence except because God decided so, because God sent his Son to die. And through the blood of Jesus, we can enter beyond the veil, the Holy of Holies. Our confidence is not in our own ability, our own performance, but in what Christ did at the cross so that we are righteous. 1 Peter 3, verse 12, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. Okay. The Lord knows everything. He's always watching us. Not only that, he knows the intentions of our hearts. He knows our thoughts. He knows how many hairs on your head. I think Charlene showed me a picture of some kid that probably had his hands on one of those electric ball thingies, the static, the hairs like all out there. And it's like, don't worry, the Lord knows how many hairs are on your head. It's probably just an angel that's counting them again or something like that. The Lord knows everything about us, shortcomings, failures, and he still loves us. But isn't it amazing that you could say the softest prayer, you could pray under your breath, and the Lord has heard that prayer. Prayer is a serious thing. You know, people use our Lord's name in vain. And then someone heard someone doing that and said, you better say something because he's listening to you now. When we pray, it's not an insignificant thing or a small matter. You're asking God for his attention, right? So, not that he's got limited attention, but you still, let's make it a good one. Let's not pray vain prayers. Let's take it more seriously. Firstly, by praying more, starting to pray. And then secondly, let's think a bit about the content of our prayers. It's just a discipleship thing. Think a bit, so every day I'm praying at that time. I'm praying mostly about these things. What would he have me pray for? And just to consider that before I pray, maybe just to even think about it for a second, because we should serve the Lord with our minds as well. And then ask him, let the Spirit minister to us and show us what does God want us to pray for. And then let's pray those powerful prayers. And then finally, united. When there's unity around prayer, when we're praying together, when we're praying in agreement, there is more power. Matthew 18, verse 19 to 20, again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. And Psalm 133, you know, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Power in agreement, power in unity. That's why we've been encouraging everyone also to join. We remind everyone of the prayer times, our weekly prayer times here at church. I'm sure everyone's seen a time slot by now that might be closer to what is possible for you to join. So yeah, it might get boring hearing that invitation every week, but we believe it is powerful. We believe it's a core ministry. It's a core part of our Christianity that we pray. I believe that a church that doesn't pray is not a church. Maybe it's more of a club. So I want to encourage you to join us. I understand for some people in work situations not always possible. And you don't have to come every time. One understands that. But if you can come and join, for me it's also a personal growth thing. You know what? When we pray together as a group, and it's about hearing the Lord's voice, because when we pray together as a group, we're mostly praying for the church, for our valley and our country. So we're praying for other needs that when we come to the meeting we aren't necessarily aware of. But in the meeting, God will speak to us. And we all only prophesy in part. We all only know God's will in part. And so when God shows someone something and they pray it, and then God shows someone something else, and then later on, after a few people have prayed, you start seeing a pattern about what God is actually trying to establish here in prayer. And someone prays something, and then they're praying, and then God just shows you, I want you to pray more into that area, that specific thing that they're mentioning now. And so it kind of, one fire sparks another fire, sparks another fire. And we get to discern and learn God's voice more and more as we pray together. Not only are you blessing the people that you're praying for and the kingdom being established, but you as an individual are growing more in your relationship with the Lord. You are receiving something that you wouldn't receive otherwise. So there's an aspect of our Christian walk, of our growth in the Lord, that the Lord, I believe, will deposit in your life only when you're praying for other people, at least only when you're praying with other people. There's an aspect of that that's reserved. There's a blessing accruing to you and will only come your way when you are praying in agreement with other people. I firmly believe that. You see, our decision to follow the Lord and our journey with the Lord is a personal one, but it's not a private one. Very much public, very much in community. We are part of a body. We cannot disconnect ourselves from the body. There's many people that call themselves Christians that want nothing to do with any other Christian. I don't know how long you can survive like that as a believer. You need to be connected. We need each other. And specifically in this area as well, we need to be able to pray together. As a family, husbands and wives connect on three levels. They connect physically, they connect emotionally, and they connect spiritually. Now, if we neglect any one of those, it's going to weaken that marriage. So husbands and wives ought to be praying together. Families, parents and children praying together. There's a spiritual connection. So in marriage, there's a level of intimacy that you will only access when you are communing around the things of God, when you are praying together. Couples that pray together stay together. How beautiful it is for a wife to hear her husband pray for her and thanking God for her, for how amazing she is, how delicious her cooking is, and all of these things. If your cooking is not delicious, hey, we live in Franschhoek. Reuben Riffle has courses every so often, and just bless your wife to attend one of those. Mother's Day coming up. Your children will be grateful. thanks, Dad, for sending Mom on that cooking course. Hey, fish fingers are good as well. We have them as well. So I even have fish fingers. It's great. Right. So, guys, just the encouragement. Let's pray more together, please, as families, as married couples, and here at the church. It is God's will for us. So it's just by way of reminding you, prayer is powerful. And just some aspects that you could consider to include in your prayer life. So I'd like us to stand this morning. And then I'm going to pray, and then we're going to pray a bit together, and then we're going to have some tea. Okay, so let's stand together, please. Father God, we want to thank you for prayer, that you have granted us this way of communicating with you, of speaking to you, sharing our heart with you, bringing our needs before you, unburdening ourselves, and being able to pray for the needs of others, Lord, and being able to hear your voice, Lord, speaking to us. Father, prayer is not just a monologue, Lord, it's two-way communication, and we just want to thank you that we can communicate with the King of the universe. What a privilege, Lord. It's really that place where you can become our best friend, where you know us and we can share everything with you that we might share with a best friend. But Lord, you're even better than that. You understand us like no one can. And you've been through all of it, Lord God. And you go through all of our challenges with us, Lord. Thank you, Lord God, that we can always come to you with gratitude in our hearts. Lord, we always have something to be grateful for. Lord, our salvation, that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank you, God, for your goodness in our lives. I pray, Lord God, that you'll remind us, by your Spirit, that you'll remind us and lay in our hearts the things that we ought to pray. And that, Lord, that we would stretch ourselves, that we would grow in our stamina as believers, and that we would pray more. Lord God, I pray that you would, that you would come in and enrich our prayer lives, Lord God, that we would really be guided and led by you in how you want us to pray, when you want us to pray. Lord God, things that we might have be praying currently that are not according to your will, Lord, and Lord, that you'll really show us what we should do. But Lord, that you'll also help us as a church community, Lord God, to pray more together. Lord, thank you for the numerous prayer moves through our country at the moment. Thank you that we can know people are praying for South Africa at the moment. And we believe it makes a difference. We will never know until we get to heaven one day. And we don't know if you're going to tell us all these things either. But we will never know, Lord God, all the things that people's prayers have accomplished. Lord God, we might think, but we live in a bad situation, in a bad environment. But Lord, we can't begin to imagine what would have happened if no one had ever prayed. How bad would it have been? Our prayers act as a hedge of protection, a buffer against evil, and also something that promotes the advancing of your kingdom. I pray, Lord God, that as a church and in our church prayer meetings, that you would lead us to truly pray effective prayers. Thank you, Lord, that we can come to you with a petition, a list of things, Lord, we can. But even more than that, you'd like us to also wait on you for direction, what we should pray for. Because it's a relationship that you're after. And so we just want to thank you for the privilege again. May we recognize this morning it's a huge responsibility that you've given us, that you've entrusted to us. Let us be mindful of that. Let it move us to praying effective, fervent, heartfelt prayers. In Jesus' name. I'd like to ask you guys, before you run off, won't you take 2 minutes and just pray with someone next to you? Maybe you can just ask each other very quickly, is there something that's on your heart for us to pray for, whether it's a personal need or a need that you recognize in the community. And just pray in agreement with each other before you go for tea or coffee. And then if you have any personal prayer needs that you'd like prayer for, please come forward after the service. God bless you. Thank you.